So our first question today is from an email correspondent, and it goes like this. You've talked before about parallel realities, and I'm wondering how difficult it would be to move from one to another. Well, your question has a couple of assumptions in it that we would disagree with. Even though there are very few words in your question, the vibrational tone, which is essentially, can I pack my bags over here and then move over there? The answer to that question is no, you can't. Because you see, the you that picks up your bags and then moves over will actually disappear. Except that it won't disappear because the you that you are in, the reality that you are in, cannot go anywhere but be on the forward track that it's on. Now, it's going to divide and separate and divide and separate and divide and separate and divide and separate and divide and separate as you come to every one of your sort of intersections where there's a part of you that goes right and a part of you that goes left. So you keep doing that, and you're, even as you're listening to this conversation, you're actually already creating multiple versions of this answer. So the version that you are paying attention to right now is the one where you hear the words that go like this. No, you can't. But you see, the problem here is there's an underlying idea that there's something faulty about the current reality. You might even have the idea, for example, that there's going to be something better over there, or like the mediums that Frank once met, where they all sat around and were trying to reach out to those ghosts, and we put all of this in quotes, who hadn't moved on yet. And so they were in search of, in search of, in search of lost souls and trying to herd them and shepherd them. But you see, as in that instance, the illusion is that there is something lost about a soul, that's literally impossible. In the same way that your soul cannot be lost, neither can you and your personality be lost in the reality that you inhabit. There is nowhere else for you to go because the you that is perceiving all of this cannot function outside of this reality. If you think again about what we've talked about where, you know, you could imagine all the people who are part of this conversation, many of whom are not on the call, but all of the people who are part of this conversation and who are standing in a room here, and then when the conversation is over, each one goes back into their own reality. But if you tried to go get over onto Jane's door or over onto Jim's door or over into John's door and try to open the door, you wouldn't be able to open it. But if you could open it and you could see inside of it, you would see something very unfamiliar. It would be sort of like, as we've talked before, about looking through a pair of glasses whose prescription is the opposite of yours. So if you're very farsighted and you look through someone's eyeglasses who are nearsighted, it's very, very disorienting because the way the light is being aimed at the eyeball in order to get to the brain is very, very different than what you're accustomed to. So it's not just the light. It's also the smell, the smells and the sounds and the tastes, the aromas, the way that your physical body would feel. Everything would be very different. We could even say, although this is carrying it a bit far, that the way gravity would feel to your body would be different because you only know how gravity feels to the body that you have. And since you've never escaped gravity, in other words, you've never been on a rocket ship that's gone into orbit, you don't know what it's like to actually feel the gravitational pull of the Earth as opposed to something else. And it is a very distinct feeling. There is a contrast there, obviously. But in that same way, while you can escape the Earth's gravity, eventually you will come back. And while you can imagine, you can project yourself over into this parallel reality and imagine something else that is going on, your physical experience will not match that. Now, in order to draw home the point, we're going to add this little part, and it's not something we suggest. And it's not something that we would think would be a good idea by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, we can tell you, you couldn't pull it off. But you could theoretically lay down and wake up. But we can also tell you that in the waking up, you will wake up as the other self. the one that is already inhabiting that reality. You will not wake up as the you suddenly perceiving yourself in that reality. That literally is impossible. But the imagining of it can be very delicious. And this then brings home the point. Physical manifestation is the end point. It's where everything ends. It's not where things begin. It's where they end. It's where imagination plays itself out to the fullness of its capacity. Now, this is in constant motion, so it's not like you ever hit a brick wall or a dead end. But physical reality is not where it's at, is what we're saying. To say it the way the kids of 60 years ago would have said, it ain't where it's at. This isn't where it's, that's not where it's going on. Where everything is going on is here and now, where you are. And your physical reality is shaped the way that it is because of your expectations and because of your perceptions and because of your imagination. Physical reality is assembling itself for you on your behalf and to your benefit. So to imagine traversing this quote-unquote line could be very powerful and very delicious indeed. But the mechanics, you see, your physical reality, while yes, there are many parallels, and you can borrow back and forth, you cannot cross back and forth, because there's nothing there. There's nothing here, and there's nothing there, not in the way that you think. That's why we say physical reality is the end of the line. Because physical reality has a component that doesn't actually exist, but makes the existence, your awareness, your perception, your interaction with physical reality meaningful. And that is that things do have an end, because physical reality is defined by cycles, with beginnings, middles, and ends. But the truth of who you are is eternal. This is a place where you just sort of go in an eddy for a while. It's like being on a really large river and then allowing yourself, not being pushed, not being pulled, allowing yourself to drift off the current and into a little eddy. And you're just sitting there for a while, but not forever. And the main river is still there, pulling, but not pulling as in impelling, not pulling as in pushing, not pulling as in making, but pulling as in the fullness, the astonishing fullness of your desire pulls you forth. But it's your desire arising from you. It's not an outside force, although you can distinguish yourself enough and discreet yourself enough in order to convince yourself enough that there is something distinct going on over there versus over here. But there isn't. There is only here, and there is only now. And that's why when we've had these conversations before, we've always said, you're the number one. You're always the number one. You cannot be anything else. You can have a number 372 or a number 3,472,916. There is no other number one. You are the only one that you know of. You sit at the center, and all these other thoughts are playing themselves out in realities that are as real as yours, which is to say, not at all, that are there for the same purpose that this one is there for, the delight of it, that are working themselves out in the same way that this is, perfectly, that there's not something better over there as opposed to over here. There's not something better over number 372. As opposed to over here. You can go visit, you can go watch. You can write about it, you can talk about it, you can dream about it, but you can't experience it directly, not in the way that you do this. When you go to sleep, and here's one of the ways you can tell, when you physically, in physical terms, not metaphysically, but when you physically go to sleep, when you lay your body down and your eyes close and your consciousness shifts and it moves away from your body into the vaster, more expanded part of you, you have adventures in other parallel realities. Some of them closely resemble this one, and some of them are very distinctly different. And in the dream state, you will remember certain pieces and parts, or let us back up. In the dream state, which of course isn't a dream state, it's an alive state. It's a very vibrantly alive, much more alive than your physical form is doing through a physical reality, through your personality. But over there in that dream state, you have lots of different adventures, and of course, physical reality is much more flexible and fluid, as we've talked about before. That's why you can fly. And you might say, yes, but that's just a dream. That's just my imagination, but that's got everything backwards. A much more powerful way of saying it is, yes, when you're in the quote unquote dream state, you remember being in physical reality, and you remember the very narrow, very focused, very contrast laden, very intense physical experience. You remember the taste of chocolate, but you don't taste chocolate. You remember that you knew something about the sunrise and the sunset, and you can dream them up and you can imagine them, but you can't experience them the way you do through physical reality. The physical reality is a narrow band. It's very narrow. And it's also amazing. It's your powerful creation. It's something you've chosen, and you continue to choose moment after moment, after day, after week, after year. And of course, it really isn't measured by days and weeks and years. That's just a tool you use to keep track of things. The way physical reality is measured is here. Over there, whether it's in a dream state or a parallel reality or whatever you want to call it, you can imagine what is happening. That's very powerful, but it's very powerful to the you that is here now. You could sit, for example, if you wanted to, and you could write a story about this, and you could say, look, this is the way it is, and you could gain insight, and you could see the difference in the contrast between the you of here and the you of over there. But we wouldn't suggest that you try to reach over there for the purpose of staying over there. You can try. You're not going to get much traction. You probably are going to build up some resistance to being here, which is probably going to be painful and may manifest itself in ways that you don't like. That's not a warning. We're just saying whenever you offer resistance to something, you get things that you don't like. Resistance begets resistance. That's just the way it goes. That's how thoughts work. Because whatever you're putting your attention on is whatever it is that you're going to get more attention on and get opportunities to give more attention to. So when you're thinking about parallel realities, our suggestion is to just notice. This is how wonderful it is. This is how amazing it is. This is how magical it is. And let that be the case. Know that you're in this right place at this right time in this right way. And it's all good, because it is. And your imagination is powerful. You can do so much with it. Imagining another state. You can do things, we're not going to go on and on with this, but we'll give you one very specific example that may be very practical indeed. You can do things sort of like when you're cleaning a room and you decide, I'm going to clean this room from top to bottom. You may empty all the furniture out and put it into another room. Let's say you're cleaning out the dining room. So what you do is you take all the chairs and put them in the living room, and maybe you take all the furniture down off of the hutch or the buffet or whatever it is, or out of the container that holds it, or you take all the paintings down and you dust them and you clean them, and then you wipe down the walls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You move all the furniture around. You take all the dishes, you clean them, and then you put everything back together. So there's a period of time that where what happens is the dining room may be just the dining table. Maybe it's too big to move. But everything else is in place. Or everything else has been removed, shall we say. All the whatever the paintings were, whatever the furniture was that wasn't the dining table. And now you've got a chance to really get at the walls and really get at the floors and give it all a good scrubbing. And that's wonderful. But you'll have a moment when all the furniture is out and you just see the room as it is, bare except for the dining table. And you'll have a shift in perception. You'll suddenly see the room through slightly different eyes. You maybe will remember what it was like when you first moved into that house and you first saw that room before that dining table had been purchased or before your aunt, whomever, had left it to you. And so there you are with your furniture disarrayed and disassembled. And maybe you walk into the living room and you see the stack of furniture there, and you suddenly see the living room in a different light because now everything is arranged a little bit differently. You can use your parallel realities sort of in the same way. So for example, what we mean is you could take something, let's say, that's happening, that you see on the verge of happening, that you really, really don't want to happen. And you're sort of hoping and praying and saying chants and doing affirmations and visualizing the best possible outcomes and trying to let go, let go, let go. One of the things that we've suggested is if you feel the sort of the pressure of something rising up that's painful, sometimes the most powerful thing, and sometimes the thing that feels better, is to actually let yourself feel it. Let the energy of the having of it move through you. So if you were thinking, well, I'm about to go bankrupt, you might sit there and just feel the feeling of the fear of the bankruptcy. But you could also put it over in another reality and imagine that you're watching it sort of like on a movie screen. This is what happens to me over in this other reality where this bankruptcy occurs. Because, by the way, if you've imagined the possibility of a bankruptcy, it's happened. It's done. And this is where, you know, as a little tiny side note, this is where the idea of contrast is the bad stuff I don't want to have happen really begins to fall apart, because contrast is just the difference between two things. Everything you've ever imagined as being bad stuff that has happened. It just hasn't happened in your number one reality. It had to go somewhere. It doesn't just sit fertile. It doesn't just sit quietly. It actually manifests itself. The number one reality that you inhabit is the leading edge from where you sit, from where your personality is, from your preferences. And a disaster in your number one reality may be a boon in your number 372. You don't know. You really don't know, because you can't get over there and you don't know what's happening. But you could imagine that number 372 is having the bankruptcy, and let it play out over there. Like, move all the dining room furniture into the living room, and then go look and see what the living room looks like now that it has the dining room furniture in it. Maybe you'll see the chair sitting in a circle, and you'll think, oh, I should start this meeting in my house, and we could all sit in the living room with the dining room furniture. There'd be enough room for 12 or 15 people. Oh, that would be perfect. We could always meet over here. And then suddenly you have a new idea. Now, that's silly. But the idea of sort of imagining this other version of you going through a bankruptcy, we know each of you who have been trained to be very careful about new age things and to say things like cancel, 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 are going to be very scared by this, and we understand that. But since we know that everything is always working out for you on your behalf and to your benefit, it's very easy for us to suggest to you, because we have great confidence that your reality is perfect as it is, that if you have something coming up that you are imagining happening to you, you could imagine it happening to another version of you. Again, before you come to us and say, but isn't that a really mean thing for me to do to that version of myself, we want to remind you it's actually already happened. All you're doing is seeing how it played out. If you can imagine it happening to you, it has already happened to you. It's just not physically happening to you in physical reality as you perceive yourself in the number one spot. The answer to your question is no, but imagining putting yourself over there, seeing yourself as vastly wealthy or bankrupt beyond repair, can be very helpful for a whole variety of reasons. Of course, we would only suggest you follow what feels better. We're not giving you instructions about a new process or principle to practice. We're just suggesting, here's something you might do now that you're thinking about this. Let it play itself out and see what happens in your imagination. And let it be okay that it's happening over there, because it has already happened. As soon as you had the thought, it was done. Manifestation is always instantaneous. It may just not happen instantaneously to the number one you that you are right here, right now. But there's some version of you that has already gone through it. And the goal of all of this is not to control your reality or control the reality of any other version of yourself in order to make sure it's spick and span and always clean and everybody's happy and no one is sad and there's no contrast and everybody always gets exactly what they want. Everybody's got as much candy as they could possibly eat. Although we know that sometimes some of you think that's what it's for. It's actually just simply you having thoughts. And a parallel reality is just a reality where the thought that you had played itself out when it didn't play itself out in physical terms where you are. That's all they are. So, we thank you for your very delicious question. We'll leave you with that. Very powerful, very delightful, and very wonderful indeed.